God has given us a simple strategy. First, to establish a canopy of day and night prayer and worship. We do this in two ways. First, with our countywide House of Prayer, Light of the World Prayer Center. And second, with 30 local churches that each take a day of prayer once a month, every month. We ask these churches to pray first for their local church and second for the needs in Whatcom County. Now, we discovered these needs with 7 transformation teams in each of the 7 spheres of society. These teams help us discover what is the Father's will for transformation in that sphere. We post these in our House of Prayer and then send them to our local church prayer coordinators so we are all praying in agreement about the same things. Finally, we track those measurable results of God activity and answered prayer and give glory to God.
Well, in Whatcom County, we saw us grow from the least church county in 2005 to adding 75 new congregations by 2011. 105 to 180. That's over a 70% church growth rate in what was the least church county in the U.S.
You know, there's a rich prayer history in Bellingham, Washington. What is happening today, I think, is one of the healthiest models, partnering with pastors of local churches and marketplace leaders, too.
Oh, we ask for great revival in the Northwest. Would you unleash your power? Would you show us your glory?
In addition to unprecedented unity and prayer, countywide service projects are also having impact.
And it's this idea that if we can corporately serve the community and those around us that are in need, those that have needs, and do it in the name of Christ, then we can essentially begin to share the love of Christ with people. I met with some policemen. What are things that don't get done because you don't have the manpower? And they said, you know, one of the biggest areas is graffiti. We'll never get enough people to clean it up. You know, if we had 300 people that would go out and clean up graffiti. So we had 5 churches and we had 500 people. And it was incredible because all we did was tell them, hey, this is a need. This is your chance to go out. You may never get to say the name of Christ, but you're going to go out there and clean up our city and care for people that have been vandalized. They're going to know that you're doing it because of the love of Christ.
All right. Under a canopy of night and day 24/7 prayer, and we minister first before the Lord, and then we go out and we're serving and ministering in the community. I minister with the Lighthouse Mission at the daytime drop-in center and just providing a place for the homeless to come in and have shelter and food. And so to combine just ministering with worship and intercession with the action is a very powerful link.
Here in Whatcom County, we believe these principles of exalting Jesus in day and night prayer and worship, unity amongst our local churches, and together loving and serving our communities will bring transformation to the glory of God.
I would love to see us known as that's just the church that loves Jesus.
You'll see God move like He's never moved before, not amongst the natives, but amongst all of the peoples of our nation. We'll be together as one, worshiping.
At the end of the day, we are asking for Christ to reign supreme in every sphere of society, that the Lamb of glory would receive the due reward of His sufferings.
Father, we claim this city for Your supremacy, for Your lordship. Abba, we ask for a wave of Your glory to come crashing into Whatcom County, that many souls will come to know You. Lord Jesus, we love this city. We ask, oh God, that You would make Your name great.
In that context, that I'd like to read our scripture today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 12. It's on page 1785 in your pew Bible. So the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
So, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work among us now as we reflect on the application of this part of your word, the wholeness of the body of Christ, the impact of the body of Christ in our city. For your glory, Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in this age of individualism held high in our society, the Bible brings an important corrective when it's of the image of the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there's no place for arrogance on the part of the strong or of self-depreciation in the part of those who feel weak. There's no place for giving ourselves a free pass to sit this one out, or on the other hand, to take such responsibility that we feel it's all up to us. It isn't. No, the body of Christ works together for the glory of God in our city. Now, the body of Christ's image is most obvious in the family, in the human family. Mom, dad, the kids, uncles, grandparents, cousins, and so on. When a family loves one another and works well together, it's beautiful and everyone benefits. And it's clear also this image of the body of Christ is most often reflected on in the context of a local church, the congregation right here, the people right around us in this room. Paul speaks here of the spiritual gifts that are shared for the common good, each one with the other, in verses 7 to 11. And then of the willingness to care for one another, as the body does, rejoicing, honoring, even suffering with and for one another, verses 15 to the end of the chapter. It makes clear that there's no such thing as an individual Christian who isn't a part of the body of Christ and who isn't actively serving and helping to build the body of Christ and through the body of Christ serving the world in the name of Jesus. And you know, I found these two areas is where I fought a lot in the earlier years of my Christian life. But I've come to recognize in more recent years that the principles of the gifts and unity of the body of Christ apply not only to the family and to the local church, but to at least two other levels of society. And that is the whole nation. There's a body of Christ in Canada, and also to the body of Christ in the city. And, you know, in September, just to very briefly in the nation, Carol and I will travel to Mongolia to help the body of Christ in that country and a number of other countries in Northern Asia to apply the principles of the body to a national church planting process. And while this isn't the place to go into detail on this, it's very similar to what we invested 10 years of our lives here in Canada with Church Planting Canada, in which there's four components, a leadership team drawn from various streams of the body of Christ throughout the whole country, coordinating a process, leading to a multiplication of churches. Secondly, researchers who function as the eye, gathering information on where the church is and where the church doesn't yet exist in enough strength to bring the gospel to the lost in that nation, any given nation, including Canada. And then thirdly, others gather leaders from all denominations and ministries to pray and respond to what they've heard about church planting needs in that nation and to make decisions in that regard for ministry and church planters. And fourthly, trainers and coaches to bring support systems, tools, and training to help church planting teams make disciples and gather disciples into disciple-making communities. That's what church planting is. The whole body works together at a national level to disciple the whole nation. Okay, well, how does this work? How does this apply in the city? We're in Maple Ridge, and in Maple Ridge or Ridge Meadows, there are just under 30 congregations like our own, some larger, some smaller, and just over 10 parachurch ministries focusing on youth, recovery programs, unplanned pregnancy support, and more. Youth Unlimited, Salvation Army, Freedom Session is expanding into more congregations in the community. Well, how do the principles of the body of Christ, the city church body of Christ, apply in Ridge Meadows? Well, we want to remember, first of all, that there is only one church in Ridge Meadows. There are many congregations, but there's only one body of Christ in the city. And there is only one Lord, Jesus Christ. Verse 3 of this chapter 12. Jesus is Lord of those who acknowledge that he is Lord. And Jesus is Lord of those who do not acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of the living. Jesus is Lord of the dead. Jesus is Lord of all. And there is only one Lord. And we in the city have one mission. And that is to show and tell the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God of righteousness, of salvation, of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of grace, of justice, and to for all freely, to bring transformation to the community. Let's look at our scripture text again. Just as the body is one, but has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we all have been baptized into one spirit so as to form one body when we were baptized. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, Christian Reformed or Alliance or Baptist or Pentecostal, we were all given of one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not one part, not made of one part, but of many. Let me just say a little more about our context here in Ridge Meadows. You know, there are about 100,000 people in Ridge Meadows. And of that 100,000, about 3% of the entire area worships in a church on a Sunday morning like today. Now, at Christmas and Easter, it's a little bit better. It might bump to 5%. But you know that that means that 95%, or somewhere close to that, 90 to 95%, do not know, to take a phrase from Jonah, their right hand from their left, spiritually, when it comes to the gospel. And so that's a massive task and calling for those of us who are called to disciple our nation, our city, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church in Ridge Meadows, in my view, is small, really spiritually unified, but suffering from benign neglect. What do I mean by that? I mean that we really don't know very much about each other. We know there's an Alliance church there, and there's a Catholic church there, and there's a Pentecostal church there, but beyond that, not so much. Now, the church in Ridge Meadows does worship together a couple times a year, Good Friday, three different locations. At the county country fest last week, a number of us were there. And pastors in Ridge Meadows do pray together on a pretty regular basis, and that's a great strength. But the Church of Ridge Meadows doesn't pray together very much. And we've not had a common strategy in the city to accomplish our purpose for the most part. Now, we do have a new mosque in town. I don't know if everybody knows that. I went to visit a few weeks ago, meet the leaders. And at the same time, the Christian church in Ridge Meadows, the city church, has had to close two churches, two congregations recently. The Maple Ridge Vineyard is no more. Discovery Church is no more. So we're down from 30 churches to 28 churches just in the last 6 months. Now, that means that we have 28 churches when we need, in order to disciple our city, about 100 congregations. Because the average congregation at its maximum capacity can impact about 1,000 people if we really put our prayer, our hearts, our energies into it. It's fabulous that there's 150 kids registered for camp this next week. That impacts a lot of families. That impacts hundreds of people. And so if we are going to have 100 churches, that means we have to plant 72 more churches in Ridge Meadows. Now, I am encouraged that the pastors of Ridge Meadows want to rectify this situation and want to move forward together. In January of this year, the Ridge Meadows pastors mandated a process that we're calling Pray Ridge Meadows. And the purpose of Pray Ridge Meadows is to mobilize prayer in the city church for the revival of the church, for the awakening of the city to its need for the gospel of Christ, and for the manifest advance of the kingdom of God, the mission of God's kingdom in our city. Now, what are the parts of something like that? Well, one part is we can, as a city church in Ridge Meadows, raise a 24/7 canopy of prayer over the city. The purpose of the video, the abbreviated video that we showed during the offering, is to show what our brothers and sisters just south of the border in Whatcom County have been about since about the year 2000. Now, many of you may be familiar with praying around the clock. It's not something an individual can do. It's not something a person can do. And in most cases, it's not even something that a local congregation can do in a sustained way. But Carol and I have seen prayer rooms in Indonesia, other places as well, open and active 24/7, like this one, which happens to be attached to a hotel that is owned by a Christian business person who said, when I build this hotel, I'm going to build a prayer tower as part of it. And in this particular prayer tower, there's several floors. There's one floor in which there is 24/7 praise and worship. All the time, there is song and praise to the Lord from small groups of people to larger groups of people. The floor above it is 24/7 prayer, constantly praying for the needs of the community. The floor above it is an amazing thing I've never seen anywhere else in the world, and it is absolute silence. There is a model of the Ark of the Covenant with the angels' wings touching one another, and it is a room to be absolutely silent. People come to just sit and listen. Sit in the presence of the Lord and listen. And in that particular city in Indonesia, there are three prayer rooms, not all as elaborate as this. some in a high-rise apartment, various other places. I've seen them in Singapore. I've seen them in UK and elsewhere. And you know, what is fascinating is that Indonesia is 85% Muslim. And as a nation, Indonesia is seeing the fastest growth of Muslims coming to Christ from any country in the world. And I believe this is because the church in most major cities in Indonesia have at least one 24/7 prayer room that is owned, quote unquote, by the whole body of Christ in the city. Not by the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Reformed, by this body of Christ in the city. And they're praying around the clock for spiritual breakthrough, which is the foundation of every other kind of breakthrough. Breakthroughs in justice and compassion and mercy and change in society. Now, most smaller congregations in Maple Ridge don't have the capacity to pray 24/7 on a sustained basis. We recognize. But I believe that even a small congregation in Maple Ridge is able to open a prayer room for one day a month. And in concert with the other churches in Ridge Meadows. So might a prayer room look like in 28 churches throughout Ridge Meadows? Well, on one wall might focus on global issues, the persecuted church, world missions, the concerns of the whole world. This morning we wake up to the news Iran has taken control of another oil tanker. There have been two mass shootings in the U.S., issues that the whole world is thinking about. On a second wall might focus on Canada-wide issues. There's an election coming up. Praying for federal leaders, for righteous laws, for parliament, for the Aboriginal community, for reconciliation, national issues. A third wall can focus on Ridge Meadows, praying for the police, praying for first responders, praying for the mayor, for the unity of the body of Christ, for revival in the city, for homelessness, for youth, all kinds of issues related to our city. The fourth wall in that prayer room can focus on needs of this congregation, leaders in this congregation, renewal, mission, people who are ill, youth and children, others. Now, one person can go into that prayer room, for example, at 6 a.m., and just be there with the Lord for an hour. And then another person comes in at 7 a.m., and just is there with the Lord for an hour, and another person at 8. The first time I met a prayer room was in the UK, and I decided to sign up for 3 a.m. I wanted to see what it was like. So I showed up at 3 a.m., knocked at the door, and someone let me in. And one person who had prayed a 1 o'clock shift was in a sleeping bag in the corner. They weren't going to go home in that city during the night. Someone else had a bike parked in the other place. But people, some went, but I prayed for that hour. It was a powerful experience of focused prayer for an hour. Now, this congregation, or any in the city, could just begin with 4 hours or 6 hours, depending on how many people sign up, and grow from there, moving towards 24 hours. So here's the question, folks. Who in this room would be willing to organize a prayer room in this church one day a month? The 17th of every month, the 25th of every month, whatever. And be a part of a canopy of prayer in Ridge Meadows as a whole. And imagine what the Lord might do if all of the churches in Ridge Meadows might do the same thing. So that's the first challenge. The second is this. Another way in which the church in the city as a whole can function, can make a difference, is to pray for every family in the city twice a month. Do you think that's possible? Can we pray for every home in the city twice a month? Well, that might seem a little daunting, but you know what? It isn't, actually. How can we do that? We can do that by prayer walking. You know, most of us walk anyway, right? We walk the dog. We walk, maybe we're walking the baby. Maybe we're walking for exercise or something like that. Do you know what the difference between walking and prayer walking is? Not much. On the outside, you can't tell the difference. When we're walking, we're praying for the houses that we're going by. And, you know, it's not something one church can do, but if every church in the city were to have a map of the city like this, on the wall of the prayer room, on the Maple Ridge wall of the prayer room, and each of us just marked on that map where we normally walk. And maybe we want to focus on places of particular influence in our city. Schools, city hall, just places of influence, for good or bad, in the city. Just praying for our neighbors. Praying for a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praying for spiritual breakthrough. Praying for someone to share the gospel with a person in that house or in that apartment that we're walking by. And to prayer walk, maybe you walk twice a week. Maybe you walk every day. But I believe that in concert, if the whole city church prayer walks as we're walking anyway, that we can pray for every home, every family in the city twice a month. We can do it. And what a difference that makes. I received a testimony not that long ago of a drug house that had been a nuisance in the community. And people had just prayer walked. Nobody knocked on the door. Nobody talked to anybody. Just pray. Just walking by, praying, and accomplishing something that couldn't be done by other means as it wrapped up and closed and is gone. And so here's the second question. Who here would be willing to champion, to get a prayer map like this, put it on the Maple Ridge wall of the prayer room, and encourage everyone to mark, everybody who walks anyway, to mark your prayer walk? Now, it's not going to cover the whole map, but in concert with the map that will be on the wall at the Catholic Church and at the Alliance Church and the one after that, all of the city can be covered with prayer. A third thing that we can do together is to link at least two intercessors from every church in the city to pray together for the city and to begin to take a first step towards a prayer tower, shall we say. Now, the picture you're looking at is not a big tower by some standards, but you know what? It's the biggest tower we've got in Maple Ridge, all right? And it's called Maple Towers, and it's right next to the Baptist Church. Most of you know where it is, across from the Salvation Army and so on. And there is a great view. If you've never been on the 13th floor of this building, there is a great view of the city, a great place to pray for the city. There's the Haney Hotel on the one side. There's the homeless camp, Salvation Army. There's all kinds of things that you can see from the top of that prayer tower. And right now, we are working towards praying with two people from every. So if there's 28 congregations and if there were two people from one, that would be just over 50 people. We're not there yet. There's an average usually of about a dozen, sometimes 18 people that gather to pray Tuesdays at 3. And you might want to be a part of that. You might want to represent this congregation in that citywide prayer gathering. There's another one on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and there's more detail that we could share. By the way, there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby area there for visitors, where if you want to just be kept in the loop, or if you want more information about this prayer gathering, this prayer tower, just print your email address there. Now, what can be built on a prayer foundation? Everything begins with prayer. But what can be built on a prayer foundation? Let me just suggest a couple of things, just for our imagination and continued prayer. First of all, God's covenant promise, as we know, is in you all families of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 12:3. Now, how can the church in Ridge Meadows bless every family as God promised Abraham that he would do through his offspring, which is those of us who are in Christ? Now, what if every congregation, and I know many congregations are already do this, but what if every congregation identified one primary need in our community and put its shoulder to serving that need? If all 28 churches did that in concert, do you think the community would notice? Well, I think it would. I think there were some examples in this short video that we saw could be considered. Some of you will be aware of the Love Your City movement. You've seen that in the local paper. There isn't one in Maple Ridge right now. There is one in Pitt Meadows. There's one in Coquitlam and a couple of other locations. Maybe there's someone here who would champion bringing the body of Christ together for something like that. And finally, what if we would build on a united prayer foundation what many people call seven mountains, which refer to the seven major spheres of influence that shape our society. And so if Christians around these areas, education, government, arts and media, and so on, would gather across all congregations, doesn't matter which denomination, but if you are in education, whether in Christian school or in the public system, and gather Christians who are concerned about education to pray together, to know one another, to stand with one another, to affect policy and values and curriculum in those settings. Perhaps you're a business person or work in some area of government or first responders or healthcare, or some other area in which you could connect believers in that area, that sphere of influence, that mountain that influences society, for prayer, for loving action, expressing the kingdom of Christ, for the betterment of our community, for the sake and the glory of Christ in our community. There, too, if that is something that you want to talk about, let's do that. Actually, if there are various things, we could maybe form a little huddle somewhere around with a cup of coffee in a few minutes. But our time is up, and there are a number of ways in which we connect with the city of the broader city of Christ, being the body of Christ in the city. So just to suggest three things. One, I've already mentioned the sign-up sheet. If you just want to keep in touch, just communication. You may want to look at PrayRidgeMeadows.com and choose a way to engage or help mobilize the whole body of Christ, to engage the whole city, to bless every family in the city, every institution in the city. Or thirdly, to join us at 3 o'clock for prayer in Maple Towers, our emerging prayer tower, the top floor just across from the Salvation Army, or on Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock in Maple Ridge Baptist. And in it all, let's remember who we are. We are one congregation of the whole body of Christ, the City Church in Ridge Meadows, composed of eyes, ears, hands, all the parts of the body of Christ that we read of. And we are a chosen people. We're a royal priesthood. We are kings, a holy nation, God's possession, that we might declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And as such, we are the vanguard in the present age of the age to come. already inaugurated by Jesus Christ in his resurrection and ascension. And so, Father, we thank you that you have called us to be priests, standing between you and the world, to be kings, to bring blessing to every family on earth through our Lord Jesus. Father, thank you that you've placed us in Ridge Meadows and us in the city church, the body of Christ in Ridge Meadows, as our frontline mission field. And Lord, we do thank you that it's not just us, it's the whole church in Ridge Meadows, of which there's only one church, one Lord, one mission, and to manifest your presence and your glory and your grace. And so, Father, empower us, we pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Send revival. Do a new thing among us. Be lifted high over Ridge Meadows, Lord Jesus, as we praise and serve you with joy and with expectation. So come, Holy Spirit, bend us. Empty us of ourselves. Fill us with yourself. And use us in Christ's name for your glory, we pray.